produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Right there, right there. Come on. Yeah. Let's go. Hello out there, everyone. My name is Sturman Tush, and I'm glad to be back with you on another episode of your show, Musicians War Room. Wow, I know it's been a while. And I'm sorry that I've not been able to speak with you for a while. But I'm back right now. Back fully. Back with grace. Back with power. Thank you, Finding My Way Radio Network, for holding this down for me for a while that I've not been on the show. And I want to appreciate the producer, Caleb Padgett, and every other person walking right there. Thank you so much. I love you all. I love you. Yeah, so it's been a while that we've been talking about so many things that concerns music, music industry, the church, and all of that. And I know you've been learning a lot of things. And I'm here today to take it a little bit deeper. And I'm going to step it down today. Today, I'm going to talk about something that is critical, something that people talk about and something that people always want to shy away from, because it's a very sensitive topic. Very sensitive. And what is that? We're talking about the relationship between the music industry or the artist and the church. The relationship between the choir and the pastors. The relationship between the church, the clergy, and the Christian artist. Now, this has been a hot topic for a while right now. People have had so many things to say about it. When you talk to musicians and artists, you find them telling you that, oh, you know what, the church doesn't appreciate music ministry, the pastors don't appreciate us, we don't have platforms, the money and the rewards are not there. When you talk to the church and the leaders and the church, you hear them say stuff like, oh, you know what, Christian artists are not serious, choir members are not serious, and so many things, accusations flying back and forth. Well, I'm not here today to treat these accusations. I'm here to go back to the basics. What exactly is the relevance of the church to the Christian artist? What is the reciprocate gesture that the church, the artist should have? What is the posture that the artist is meant to have towards the church, towards the pastors, towards the church leadership? What exactly, how are things meant to be? Originally, we're going to go back to that basics. I'm going to share these things with you. We're going to have these conversations together, and I'm going to expect your questions. I'm going to wait to hear you ask me questions, and you can always send me your mail on hemedymusic@gmail.com, hemedymusic@gmail.com, and I'm going to answer those questions right on the show. All right, so we're going to look at these things on this show today. I'm going to start this with a piece of music. Let's get into some worship, and this is Nobody Like You by Afe Nathan. Enjoy this one.
I will lift up my hands to you. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory song to you, great and mighty. Is who you are. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. Alpha. Nobody like you. nobody like you. I will lift up my hands to you, Lord. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory, oh Lord, song to you, great and mighty. Is who you are. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. Alpha. Nobody like. Nobody like you, Lord. Omega. Nobody like you. Nobody. Nobody like, nobody like you, Omega, nobody like you. Cause anybody, cause anybody, oh, who are, cause anybody, cause anybody, nobody like you, nobody like you, Alpha, nobody like, nobody like you, El Shaddai, Elohim, Elion, nobody like you, nobody like you. Show out all the earth, and I find nobody like you, nobody like you, nobody like you. I've just come to encourage someone out there today, and I say to you that whatever situation you find yourself, I need you to see God in that situation. No matter how low, I need you to see God in it. No matter how bad, no matter how terrible, I need you to see God in that situation. If only you can see God. If only you can find God. I need you to be focused. I need you to get your praise on. I need you to get your worship on. And let it flow from the inside of you to the audience of one, to the King of Glory.
Yes, yes, let your worship flow. Let your praise rise to the audience of one. No matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstances are facing you right now, just know that God is right there. It's just a call away. Glory to Jesus. Yes, so we're talking about the church and the artists. Now, let me debunk a particular mindset or frame of thought that people have been sharing over the years. People say that, you know what, if the church doesn't give you a platform as an artist, you know, you can just give yourself your own platform. You don't really need a church. No, that is wrong. That is wrong. People who say certain things, you know, they talk out of heart. And I understand. I understand that you've been hurt by people. I understand that probably some leaders in the church as they've hurt you in times past. Now, I'm not going to go into whether you were was legit or not, but I really understand how you feel. But never let your emotions cloud your judgment. I understand that you've been hurt, but you see, it is wrong to say that the artist or the singers or the choir or, you know, Christian music industry doesn't need the church or doesn't need the pastors. I remember in the Bible, you know, when Nehemiah was rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, building the temple, one of the things that was striking in that story is that as the guys were building, the prophets were with them. The Bible says that the prophets were beside them. Now, the prophets were not there holding the brick and all of, the bricks and all of that. The prophets were there strengthening them by speaking words. By speaking words. So I'm going to say that, first of all, like I said, you know, in quite some episodes back, you are first of all a Christian before being an artist, before being a musician. So what that means essentially is that you are subject to the ministry of the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, okay? The fivefold ministry. It is important. The apostles, it is important. You have them. They are meant to feed you. They are meant to empower you. They are meant to energize you. They can give you platforms, but that is not the primary role of the church. And I need us to get that straight. Now, many of us, we expect too much. In fact, we expect things that we, you know, you find out that an artist will release a song and then the artist will just sit down and fold his or arms and expect that, well, you know what, my church should help me promote my song. Now, I know that's far, but I've met artists like that who do nothing. They don't brand themselves well. They don't go on social media. They don't talk to music PR folks. They don't do anything to promote their music. They just go to the studio, release a song. Even the money that they used to go to the studio, they had to beg around for it. Now they got the money, get to the studio, release the song. And they just feel that, well, because I'm anointed, the song will fly. Or because my church is great and they're going to help me promote my song. Now that is an extreme. That is totally wrong. That is wrong. That is not the job of the church. You are the artist. You are the one who has been called into music ministry. And like Paul said to Timothy, I'm going to say to you, take heed, give attention to the ministry that you have been given. Now, Paul was telling Timothy to tell a man, okay, called Archippus, that he should give heed and give attention to the ministry has been given. So it is your ministry. It is your assignment. What impute, what are you putting into it? You're not putting anything into it. So that is not the job of the church. But the job of the church and the pastors and the leaders, they are meant to, is to empower you, is to feed you, is to pray for you, is to be a prophetic voice over your life, over your ministry. So once that is settled, then you are in good shape. You are in good stand. And I want to encourage and I want to also counsel our church leaders that, you see, for us to move forward in the music industry, we need to take this mindset away that, oh, artists are not serious. They don't want to really go deep. I understand that there are a few bad eggs everywhere. But you see, you have to understand that there are some people who are passionate about music ministry and they really want to do well at it. So the job of our church and our leaders is to help the artist to grow. That is on the spiritual side. Now, there's also something else on the technical side. One of the things that pastors should understand is that music is global. Music is expanding every day. And so the church choir is essentially the kitchen or the manufacturing spot where artists are created. So if a singer comes from your church and goes out to release songs and becomes a recording artist, the quality of that artist in terms of the conviction, the message, the songs, the musicality, everything there reflects your investment in the church. So if a singer comes out of your church that and starts doing anyhow and releases wishy-washy songs, it shows that you had wishy-washy investment. It shows that your investment in that artist wasn't sound. So the church, you need to understand that you have a direct personal take over every artist. Don't just say that, well, the artist just did what he or she wants to do because he's not serious. No. God is going to ask you, because God entrusted you with that singer. God entrusted you with that instrumentalist, and see how he or she has turned out. So we need to ensure that our building of our singers and our choir is well-rounded. As much as you are praying for them and encouraging them and you're building them up and speaking words over them, you also need to make investments into them technically, musically. There are many churches today that they have not invested anything in their music team, no equipments to work with, no training. I mean, you have a choir and they have not gone for any formal training in the past 2 years. You just keep on telling them, work, watch videos, listen to music. Yes, but many of them did not go to music school. They just love God and they have a natural voice to sing and they have a passion to serve. So you need to supply that extra knowledge, extra motivation for them to learn. So many of us in the church, many pastors are not even doing enough to be able to build these people. Many of us, many pastors say, you know what, I can't rent, I can't pay instrumentalists, I can't pay anybody to come and do anything in my church for music. I believe that is not right. Because there are times where you will need to seek professional advice and you will have to pay for it. There are times you will need to seek professional church on your music and you will need to pay for it. So if there's a music director or there's a singer out there who you know that is good and has what your choir needs to be supplied to it, you should be able to pay for it. Don't see that you are paying them for what they are doing. See it as your financial investment. See it like you are sending your choir members to school and what you are paying is the tuition fee. It's that simple. It's that simple. You see, if we don't make this investment, you find out that you release singers and instrumentalists in your church that know nothing about music, and that is really affecting us. Let me tell you something. When you see what is happening in the Christian music industry, it's a reflection of what is happening in our churches. And so it's like the adults saying that, well, the children of nowadays, the millennials, have turned out the way they want to turn out because they just have a mind of their own. I beg to disagree. Because the adults raised these millennials. So whatever the millennials have become is a direct representation of the investment of the older generation in them. So I want to encourage pastors. This is a time to take your church music serious. Get them gadgets. Get them the right equipment. Provide the atmosphere for them to learn. Bring people to train them. Employ reliable hands. This is one of the things that is expected of you to do. Now I'm talking about what are the expectations? What do we expect the church to do for artists? What does the artist want and need? And then on the part of the singers, what is your role and your responsibility to the church? Now, before I go for my next break, let me share it with you. I believe that it's important that every Christian artist finds a church, all right? Find a church that you can serve. So the problem many times is that some pastors have been hurt as well. And I'm going to say this. They've poured a lot and invested so much in some people. And after a while, they go to the biggest dealer. They go to the person who is paying the biggest. And that is wrong. You need to be loyal. Like I said, you're not in your church. You're not in your church because you are trying to look for platforms. Yes, they can give you platform. But essentially, as a Christian, you need a church. So if you're not a musician, won't you have a church? Be committed somewhere. So if you want someone to invest in you, then you have to be loyal to them. If I'm a pastor and I feel that, oh, if I pour so much in you and you become good, the moment someone else sees something good in you and is offering you something bigger, you're going to go. And naturally, I'm going to feel like, oh, that would make me feel hurt. Now, I understand that you don't reap where you sow, but you reap what you sow. But you also have to understand that pastors are human beings. Yes, there are times where you invest in someone and that person is meant to actually be a benefit to someone else and you have to just let them go. I understand that. I understand that it's not everywhere you invest in or everyone you invest in that will end up returning back to you or staying around you for a while. I understand that. But you see, as artists, we need to be loyal to our leaders and loyal to our church, loyal to our pastors. Give your all. Stay in a place. I know many music directors and many artists who don't have a church. You can't place them somewhere. They're always moving around from one place to another. I don't think that is right. You should be in a place. You should be planted. You should be planted. Be loyal to a place. All right? So that is your responsibility as a Christian artist, that you are submitting to a leadership. You're submitting to a pastor. You're submitting to a church. And you are adding value to that space, to that choir. Let people around you feel your impact. Let them feel your knowledge. All right? So as the church is investing in you, you are putting back as well. All right? Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up after this music break, and we're going to, you know, continue for the episode. So this is Sinach. You know her. Waymaker, Sinach, great worship leader, singing this one, "Great Are You, Lord." Enjoy this worship piece.
God is great and greatly to be praised. So every morning when I wake up, I always remind myself, that God is bigger than any situation. God is bigger than any economy. God is bigger than any currency. And that God is bigger than my dreams. And that before you ever dreamed it, He knows. And He cares so much. And if you're feeling that nobody cares for you right now, God is bigger. And He says, I am the great one. You just see how big that I am in your life. And I'll do the rest. Just lift up your hands and just worship Him and tell Him how great He is. Greatly to be praised.
It's a privilege to worship You, Maker of all universe. It's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands and holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty. It's a privilege to worship. To stand before You, with a grateful heart I lift my hands to You, proclaiming, Lord, You reign. With a grateful heart, with a grateful heart I lift my hands to You, proclaiming, Lord, You reign. Our hands, You reign. We worship You, You reign.
Holy, holy, come on.
Holy, holy God Almighty.
It's a privilege.
It's a privilege to worship.
Maker of all.
Maker of all.
It is an honor.
He's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands, say, holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty.
Oh Lord,
it's a privilege to worship. You're the maker of all universe.
It is an honor.
It's an honor just to stand before
You. Come on.
With a grateful heart I lift my hands to You, proclaim the Lord You.
Father, You reign. Reign on Your throne.
Great are you, Lord. I just couldn't stop that. That was a powerful song. Great are you, Lord. I'm sure you were lost in worship right there. All right, so I'm about to wrap up the show for the day. We're going to continue this conversation, you know, subsequently. So like I said, the church has its roles. The artist, you have your role. And this is what I'm going to end with. This is going to be my ending thought to us today on this episode. You see, we need to get to a point where we realize that we need one another. I sincerely believe that the Christian music industry and essentially gospel music needs to take over, because we have the message, we have the power, we have the grace, we have what it takes to turn our world around. The world out there, what you find people doing is they're singing all sorts of songs, and you find our young people turning into so many things, and they are being negatively influenced by the music, and we have what it takes. But you see, we cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do this on our own. We need that prophetic backing. We need that synergy. We were never meant to do this by ourselves. Taking over is not a single man's job. I want you to understand that. It's not something that I'm going to do. You know, when you find new artists come out and say, you know what, I'm coming out with my first single. It's going to be the banger. I'm taking over the music industry. I'm going to turn this around. It's all a lie. Only you alone can do it. We need one another. And I want you to just take this mindset with you and just know that, you know what, I need my brother, I need my fellow artists. Thank God for my number one hit single nationwide, but I cannot do it by myself. If I'm the only one having hit singles, then nothing's going to happen. I need other people to rise up. And as artists, we also need the church. Let us go into the weekend, into our week, into our month, into the rest of the days of the year with that mindset that we need one another. I need you. You need me. Thank you so much. I'm going to continue on the next episode talking about the relationship between church and the artist, between the singers, between the ministry, the music ministry, and the church leadership. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I'm Tommy Tish, and I'm signing out today. Thank you, everyone. God bless you. Right there, right there. Yeah. Let's go. Yes, sir. When this world outside, high of peace inside, favor covers me. When it's casting down, I keep rising higher. Favor covers me.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, you're welcome on board today. This is 25 Minutes with Buki on Finding My Way Radio Network, USA World. And the track you just listened to is a track from Olukemi Funke. That's the latest single entitled, I Am That I Am. Our God is I Am That I Am, and He is the all in all. If you're listening to me right now, Olukemi Funke, that was a fantastic one from you. And she also featured another wonderful, you know, gospel recording artist Jane Bosea. God bless you. Wherever it is you are, I pray for more grace for the two of you in Jesus' name. I'd like to thank my producer, Kayla Padgett. God bless you, woman of God. Thank you for being there always. Thank you for your support. Thank you for all that you're doing for the body of Christ. May the Lord increase you and may He honor you all the days of your life in Jesus' name. Today is going to be a very quick one. It's going to be a very, very quick one. And then we are going to be looking at the book of Acts. We're going to be looking at the book of Acts, chapter number 1. I got reading. I was just reading about, you know, Jesus. I decided to go into the book of Acts. And the very first verse I saw, I had read this particular portion of the Bible so many, many times. But that particular day when I was reading it, I saw something and the Holy Spirit was trying to teach me something based on the scripture I saw. And that is what I have come to share with us today. I pray that you will be blessed by this broadcast in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Father, we thank you as we share your word, as we go into your word this afternoon, this morning, this evening, depending on where everyone is listening from. I pray that this blesses someone in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray that you touch his soul. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will reach out to somebody right this minute, right this moment, in the name of Jesus. And they will turn to something very beautiful for you. They will turn a new leaf in the name of Jesus Christ. And the power of the Holy Spirit will hit them right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And it shall be well with them in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Breathe on your word, O God. Breathe on this message, O God. In the mighty and in the precious name of Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. And it's in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verse number 1. And I read, it said, the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Hallelujah, glory be to the name of the Lord. And I'm going to go back to verse 1, which says that Theophilus of all, which says that the former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. And that's going to be the focus for today. I'm still going to go down and read. There's another scripture I'm going to dwell a bit on. But this is what I am dwelling on this morning, this afternoon, this evening, depending on where you are listening to me from. Now we have Christians, we have people, we have preachers who teach, and they teach something else, and they do something else. I have not come to condemn anybody, but like the Holy Spirit taught me, inspired me, and opened my eyes to see that when Jesus came, he started to do, the Bible says, of all, he began both to do and to teach. Jesus Christ didn't come on earth to teach us without giving us examples. He led the life he wants us to lead. He led the kind of life he wants us to follow. He gave the examples of how he wants us to live. Hallelujah, glory be to the name of the Lord. And I am bringing that to you today. In case you are there as a public figure, or you are there as a Christian, and you are there, you teach, and you go back and do something completely different from what you preach, from what you teach. Hallelujah. That is what we call hypocrisy. And God is not mocked, because he sees your heart. It sees the things you do behind the scenes. Christianity is more of what we do behind the scene. Or let me say, yes, it's more of what we do behind the scene, and then it's more of what we do when nobody is watching us. Hallelujah. You take care of your closet. Your relationship with God must be perfect. Your altar of worship must be pure. And then what you do when nobody is watching, What do you do when nobody is watching you? When nobody is there to criticize you? When nobody is there to put you on the spot? When you're not in the public view? What do you do? And what do you teach? And that was what was coming to me, that I don't just want to be a teacher of the word. I don't just want to be a hearer of the word. I want to be a doer of the word, like the Bible tells us. As children of the Most High God, we are supposed to do, and then we are supposed to teach. Hallelujah. Like the Bible says, that this account is made of all Jesus began both to do and to teach. He didn't just teach. When he gathered the disciples together, there was a point where he washed their feet. That is humility. He didn't just talk about humility, but he led a life of humility. He was humble in every way. He was humble in all ways. Hallelujah. And I just saw this and I was like, I'm not sure I had seen this before. But I tell you that I have read this portion of the Bible so many times. But this is the very first time it is actually sinking into me that of all Jesus began to do and then to teach. Hallelujah. And then to teach. Hallelujah. And another thing I want us to look at from the scripture is this. Another thing I want us to see, reading further. The Bible says in verse 6, it says, therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Hallelujah. I have dwelt on the first thing I saw, began to do and teach. I am encouraging you today, what you teach, begin to do. Do not only talk about it. Let the world see what you were doing and let them learn from what you were doing, not only from what you're preaching. Do as I do. You don't say do as I say. This is what the Lord did, and this is what the Lord wants us to do. So this is what you will do, because this is what you want the world to do, because it's the right way to live. And now this is another thing I want us to show from the scripture before we call it a day today, that it is not for us to know the times and the seasons. There's one problem with humanity. We are too in a hurry. Always in a hurry, always wanting to know. But I tell you, the Bible is saying, Jesus Christ said, it is not for you and I to know the times and the season which the Father has put in his own authority. God is the highest authority. He's in charge. He owns the times. He owns the seasons. And he has allotted this to what time? That to that season. And then we are supposed to wait. He said, but you shall receive power. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Oh my goodness. And when I got to this portion, I was just like, okay, the Holy Spirit showed me. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. If you have the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of you, you have the hand of the Lord upon you, you have the Spirit of the Lord upon you, you have got power. That is, whatever it is the Lord has told you to do, he has given you that power to operate. He has given you the power to be witnesses to him. Hallelujah. To witness. Hallelujah. To be a witness with the Lord. Hallelujah. To reach the world for Jesus Christ. You have got the power in you. As a Christian, as a child of God, you have got the power in you to do what the Lord has commissioned you to do. Hallelujah. So the Holy Spirit is the one who walks through us. The Holy Spirit is the one who helps us with everything. The Holy Spirit is he that is helping me to reach out to you right now, because I have the Spirit of the Lord upon me. Hallelujah. I have the hand of the Lord upon me. The anointing is there for me to operate on. Hallelujah. So if you allow the Holy Spirit in your life, if you allow the Holy Ghost in your ministry, if you allow the Holy Spirit to direct you in your profession, in everything you do, you got the hand of the Lord upon your life. He is going to help you, and you're going to witness for Him, and you are going to reach the world for Jesus Christ. You are going to reach a world for Jesus Christ. You are going to win souls for Jesus Christ. You are going to be out there in the name of Jesus with the power of the Holy Ghost, reaching your world for Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel of God, reaching out to the poor in the spirit. Hallelujah. The Bible says, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. Hallelujah. To set free those who are in prison. People are in prison waiting for your light to shine. So you have got to recognize that the Holy Ghost is available for you to access. Amen. You have got to submit to the Spirit of the Lord on the inside of you. Because the power of the Lord is available to you, but you have got to see it. And I'm going to go back and read something to us right now that I also saw. The Bible says that Jesus said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water. This really got me. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. This was what preceded the scripture I just read. It says, you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Do you have a Spirit of God in you? Have you been baptized with the evidence of speaking in tongues? Hallelujah. Because that is where the power is. The Holy Spirit is the powerhouse of the Lord. Oh my goodness. Oh, you have got to recognize the power of the Holy Ghost. And you have got to yield yourself to the Holy Spirit. You have got to yield yourself to the Spirit of the living God. And I pray that you will be able to submit yourself to the Spirit of God, because He's beckoning on you. By way of this message, the Lord is beckoning on you. By way of this ministration, the Lord is reaching out to somebody that you are to get up and yield to the Spirit of God on the inside of you and begin to do exploits for God. The Bible says that they that know their God, they will be strong. Even in the midst of trials, they will be strong and they will do exploits. The Lord is waiting for you to do exploits because He has commissioned you already. He has called you like He called the apostles, and He empowered them. And He said, when they receive the Holy Spirit, the power for them to do everything, to carry out all the instructions will come on them, and they will be able to do. Hallelujah. And don't forget, both to do and to teach began talking about all Jesus began to do. And to teach. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. So it's the power of God that helps us with everything. It's the Spirit of God that helps us with everything. And I pray for you today that you are going to get up and rise up to the task. You're going to get up and you're going to yield yourself to the Spirit of the Lord by the special grace of God in the name of Jesus. Amen. It says of all that Jesus began both to do and to preach. And don't forget, that's the main focus today. Both to do and to preach. You have got to do and preach. Not that you teach and don't do. Or you preach and don't do. And it applies to me that I am teaching, that I am preaching right now. That I am going to do what I am saying to you right now. It is not just about what I say, but it's much more about what I do. It is much more about the way I live my life. It is much more about the way I carry on my day-to-day activities, my relationships with people. How do I manage my struggles? How do I manage my trials? How do I manage my life? Jesus came, He led the perfect example. And that is why I did a song recently. And we're going to use a song to wrap up this show today. My hero, that is loaded. There are so many heroes of faith, heroes in the world. But for me, Jesus is the only true hero, because He is the perfect example of what God wants me to be. And I call Him my hero because He represents every good thing that I am supposed to be as a child of God. Hallelujah. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And that is what we are going to be playing right after now. And I want to pray with you right now. You just join your faith with my own. I join my faith with yours. As you lift your hands wherever you are, wherever it is that you are listening to me from now, I pray that the power of the Lord will reach you in the name of Jesus. And if you have missed it, if you have derailed, if all you do is to carry on, you know, a public appearance and there's something else you do behind the scene, I pray in the name of Jesus that you will be able to match what you teach the world with what you do in the name of Jesus, both in the view of people and behind the scene where nobody sees you in the name of Jesus. I pray for salvation of souls right now in the name of Jesus. Peradventure you stumbled on this broadcast and you do not even have a clue what we are talking about here. I pray that the power of the Lord will reach you in the name of Jesus. No matter where you are, no matter how far deep you are in sin, the Lord is able to save your soul right now, right this minute, under this unction, under this anointing, under this power that the Lord is able to save you, and then you'll be able to come to help. You'll be able to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. You'll be able to accept him, the only gateway to heaven, to God. You'll be able to accept him as your own Lord and Savior by the power in the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray it is well with you. And I pray that you will learn to love the Lord, because the Lord loved you first, and you will accept his love, and you will learn to love him like he wants you to in the name of Jesus. And then you will be able to share this with some people very, very, you know, soon in the nearest future in the name of Jesus. Somebody will also get up and begin to do something similar to what I am doing, depending on whatever it is that the Lord is calling you to do. I pray that you receive the grace right now in the name of Jesus Christ to go forth in the name of Jesus Christ and make disciples of all nations like the Lord commanded in the name of Jesus. And it shall be well with you in Jesus' name. And don't forget what we have spoken about today in the book of Acts, what Jesus began to do and to teach. So you go and do what is right and teach. Hallelujah. And then remember that it is not for you to know the times and the season. God has set apart to do his things. He is the highest authority and he knows best. He makes everything beautiful in his own time. You don't have power over that. You have got to learn to wait patiently. Like Habakkuk 2:3 says, so wait, though it tarries. The vision is yet for an appointed time. It will definitely come to pass. It will not go without being fulfilled what the Lord has proposed. In the name of Jesus Christ. And I pray that you yield to the power of the Lord, because you receive power when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you in the name of Jesus, and you'll be able to use the power that you have in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you for listening. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Thank you so much. And this has been 25 Minutes with Buki on Finding My Way Radio Network, in case you are just joining the show. And to wrap up the show, we are going to be playing a track for you entitled My Hero, I'm In Love With You. You go right ahead and make Jesus your hero, your standard. That's the only true standard. And that's a song from me. My name is Buki Adediro. Until I come your way again, it's been a very wonderful time on the show today. I love you all. Goodbye, and have a very wonderful day, wonderful morning, afternoon, or evening, depending on where you're listening to me from. Goodbye for now.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hi kids around the world, it's almost Thanksgiving, eat my turkey, I want some turkey guys, can you fix me some turkey? And today, I want to say, surprise, today is the 7th and I'm so happy to be talking to you guys, it's so awesome and I love you, Princess Lila. I want to say hello to Kayla Padgett, the CEO and founder of Finding My Way Network. My dream. You should see how I'm looking right now. I'm just looking like, anyway, And I want to say thank you for tuning in today to Storytime with Princess Leah, the best storyteller in the world. Yeah. So today, I'm going to be talking about the shepherd, sheep, and the lost coin. Okay, I don't think we went over this one before. So, first off, the shepherd had 100 sheep. I guess that's sensible. I mean, sleep at night and you catch your own sheep. And he most likely named his sheep and remembered them, and every sheep was important to him. Every single sheep in his, every sheep was important to him, and he just loved watching them. Well, he probably got bored sometimes, because watching sheep isn't the best job in the world. I mean, a shepherd probably gets bored because sheep are just not really that smart. They just go around and do whatever, and they're not really thinking about what they're doing. They just do stuff, and the shepherd has to watch over them all the time. It's really tiresome. And it's kind of like Yeshua. That's kind of the thing with this one. We're learning about how this shepherd cared for all his sheep, just like Yeshua, meaning Jesus. You call him Jesus, Yeshua, it doesn't matter. We are his sheep, and he takes care of us. And he, like sheep, we're kind of dumb to Yeshua, I guess, and that's the point. So we just kind of stray off and do whatever, and he has to come and get us. And that's just kind of the point here. So one day, he counted sheep like he always did, but there was only 99, which is weird, because there should be 100. So he went on to find that lost sheep. Sheep. So dumb, man. They can't even stay close to the herd to save their lives. Literally. If they knew what was beyond the pen, they still would leave. I mean, sheep, they don't even know what you're saying. They're just like, stay in the pen. And if they went back out, they'd probably just wander off again. It's really, really tiresome. And for you little kids, tiresome, you can probably just use context clues, meaning figure it out by just hearing the word. You get tired of that happening over and over again. The sheep took its precious time marveling the world until it came across a wolf, and then it was helpless. You older kids know what I mean by that. Like, I'm not sure why, but there may be some older teens listening to this. Like, your mom makes you listen with your sisters, brothers, nieces, nephews, whatever, in the car, and you're just like, well, I don't have to listen to Princess Lee right now. I'm not even a kid, man. Technically, you are. And you're probably thinking, well, that's kind of like my life. I think I can be out there on my own, and I know what I'm doing. But then something happens, and we're just helpless, and we don't even know what to do anymore. Know what you're saying about knowing what to do now? So, as soon as sheep was injured and went on its way, and sure enough, the shepherd found his sheep and broke his leg and carried him home. You're gonna get punished after you go astray, you know that, right? I mean, he doesn't want you to just wander. I mean, he could limp back, but that wouldn't work out. He broke the sheep's leg so he couldn't wander off for a long time. And then he learned his lesson, probably. I mean, sheep are dumb, so. If he wandered back off, he wouldn't go, like he broke his leg, and then he wouldn't wander off as easily anymore, just hobble around. Like, when Yeshua, if he brings us back, he's going to do something to prevent us from running off again. He doesn't want us to get too quick to go back out there in the world. But even though we probably wouldn't want to anyway, because we're not as dumb as sheep. But that's kind of like how Yeshua is. That's the whole point here. The sheep and the shepherd, the coin, all of this is relating back to Yeshua and how he loves us. Like, you big brothers and sisters, you watch over your little sisters and you have to babysit. They get into all this mischief and all this other stuff. They're climbing the walls. I don't know why they would do that. Just jumping all over the couch, spilling 16 million ounces of drink everywhere, I guess. And just playing with the curtains on the windows and just banging on the electric piano super loud with all this stuff happening, changing the TV to a million channels in like 10 seconds, and you're just like, I can't take it anymore. Why? Well, haven't you tried at least asking them to stop? I mean, if you ask them, they may stop, but you may have to punish them on your own. Like, you can tell your mom. I wouldn't recommend punishing them yourself. Tell your mom, and maybe she'll get them to calm down. Like, we have to babysit our little sisters and brothers, too. And that's kind of like how mom and dad have to watch over us in general. And that's how Yeshua is. He cares about us, and he doesn't want anything to happen to us. He wants us to stay in his protection. The lost coin. A woman had 10 silver coins, and she favored these coins very much. So she just has these coins. She's like, oh, maybe I can make a collection. That'd be so cool. I know. I'm going to keep this, and we're going to make a collection, okay? And then one day, her coins, I know, that voice was so cool. Her coin, one of her coins, was lost. So she searched for it until she found it. She searched and searched, and she was like, oh no, part of my collection is missing. I gotta search for this thing. She's just searching and searching and searching. Is it under the bed? Is it under my dresser? Where is it? And then she finally finds it. Hey. She probably searched hours for that coin. I mean, a house is pretty big. Is it in the kitchen? How do we know it's not in the oven? Maybe we should look in the oven. So snake. Snake. And then she looks in the living room. Is it under the couch? I don't know where it is. Oh my gosh. Under this chair. Looked in the bedroom. Is it in the game room? Oh my gosh. What if it's inside my Wii U and my Xbox 360? Oh no, it's stuck in there. Just kidding. That's how Yeshua is. So search and search and search until he finds it. I mean, there are a whole lot of people in the world, and Yeshua cares about each and every one of us. Including me. I'm awesome. And he'll keep searching and searching. He'll search forever if he has to, and he'll find us. Because he cares that much for us. And just like our mom, if you get lost in a store, you're wandering in the entertainment section of Walmart for no reason at all, looking at Mario Kart Deluxe and Super Mario Party for no reason. And she's looking for you over at the market section of Walmart. There's a huge gap in between. And you're just standing there looking at Kirby Planet Robobot.
I want it.
And your mom's like, where is my daughter? Have you seen my daughter? Have you seen my daughter? Have you seen my daughter? 100 million more times until she finds you. She's like, well, you won't be getting that until next, probably till the 30th Christmas in your life. But that's how Yeshua is. He may punish us, just like he won't be getting Kirby. And it's okay. I mean, not forever. Ever. He loves us, and he'll protect us in any way he can. Each and every one of us is special to him. Like, if you wander off, he won't just say, well, I have all these other children, so that's Yahuwah is our father. I have all these other children in the world, so I don't care. Let him wander off. He'll be fine. He doesn't think like that. He cares about us. And that doesn't mean he'll just be, like, he's nice, but he won't just be love, 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 and not judgment, judgment. It's going to be even. If you wander off, you're going to get punished, most likely. But I'm pretty sure she's so relieved that you're safe. Love part. It's so easy to think that Yahuwah doesn't care about us in those type situations when we feel lost and abandoned and we're like, oh, where is Yeshua? I thought he'd always be there for me. Why isn't he looking for me? He is. Maybe you just don't know it. Maybe. I'm all alone in this situation. I knew he wouldn't help me. He wouldn't help someone like me. Well, you're not, like, all sin is the same, but you're not as bad as so-and-so is. I mean, well, it's not good to say you're not as bad as so-and-so if you mean it like, it's not as bad as so-and-so, like you're talking to your mom. That's not what I'm talking about. Because your mom would be like, I only care about what you've done. So, I mean, like, if your sin isn't as bad as the other one, because sin is all equal. If you kill somebody, that's just as bad as, you know, taking a quarter from your mom's purse. A quarter? Why would you take a quarter from your mom's purse? All the bad things we do with sin is sin is just sin. It's not like one thing is better than the other, worse. And all of it, just taking the quarter, I guess, from your mom's purse is not pleasing to Yahuwah. He doesn't want you stealing at all, man. He doesn't want you robbing a bank, and he doesn't want you taking money from your mom's purse. It's the same thing, except you're not at a bank. That's all. You understand? Your little kids understand? Yeah, I know you do. Like, this is sweet. So, all sin is the same. We need to know that. And Yahuwah, he loves us all the same. I mean, if you wander off, he'll come back and search for you. He's not going to be so mad and raging he doesn't want you to come back. If he does. It's just that he doesn't want you to wander off again. See what I did there? Again. The again part is the one you need to be listening to. So, all of you that tuned in late today, we're just going to go over this for a few more minutes. And, then I'll go back and read some more stuff. So, the shepherd had 100 sheep, and he lost one. 100 minus 1 equals 99. Simple math. And so, when he didn't realize right then, but when he counted his sheep, he realized that one had went astray because they're dumb and they're idiots. So, he went to search for it. Don't call people idiots. I know, I'm just being like so dramatic right now. And sheep are so dumb. They can't stay close to the herd. Just like we can. We just want to wander off. You'll argue with mom. You older teens. I don't think these little kids know what I mean. You'll just argue with mom. And they'll be like, Mom, I am old enough. I can go out in the world. I know what I'm doing. And your mom is pleading with you. I don't know why she would sound like that, but dramatic. And then you're like, no, mom, I'm going out. And you're like, what, 15, 16? I don't think you know everything you think you know, dude. Just me. Because you know! And so you go out there, and you're just like, I should have listened to mom. She knew what's best for me. Just like the prodigal son, all of this is tied together. The sheep, the coin, the prodigal son. You wander astray. You don't know what to do. You're just so tired. You don't have any money. If you truly repent, and repenting is different from sorry. If you're sorry, it doesn't exactly guarantee that you won't do it again. If you repent and you're like saying straight up, like, I won't do this again, mom. I promise. Yeah. If you're not sure if you're not going to do it again, then just say sorry, okay? But he repented and he came back and they had a reunion and everything. Just like the sheep. I left this part out, but when he found that sheep, he was like, guys, I totally found the sheep. The one that went away? Yeah, I found it. He's back. And they were all with this and have a party for a stupid sheep. You might be thinking, why would they have a party with the sheep? That's kind of weird. I know, right? I don't understand. I don't think they were celebrating with the sheep. They were celebrating for the sheep, I guess. I don't know. But anyway, so he got all his friends, and they were happy that he found the sheep. That's how Yahuwah is. He's so glad when one of his children comes home. He's just like, everybody, my son, my daughter, they just came back. Everybody's so happy because you are reunited with Yahuwah, and he's so happy that you're in his family again. Well, you never could be out of his family, but you know what I mean. And you're back, and everything is going great. He's happy that you're back with him. And that's a good thing. Like, our parents, our siblings, even your siblings will be happy to see you after a long time of being away. They'll just be like, I miss you so much. Like, you little kids, you know how it is with your siblings. They're just so upset to keep doing stuff. I remember how it was with my sisters. That happens sometimes. So, like, right then, she just wishes that you weren't even around anymore. And then, like, a few years later when she's not living with you anymore, she'll just be like, oh, I'm so happy to see you. They will miss you. I can promise you that. They'll miss you, just like Yahuwah will miss you. You can't just make him so upset that he'll be like, I won't want to see you anymore. I mean, even your siblings will change their minds about you. That's great to know, but I'm older now, so I won't really do too much anymore. So anyway, that's how Yahuwah is. He loves us so much. We're family to him. Even though you're really nothing compared to the Lord, even though you might think he doesn't really need to use me. I mean, he doesn't need to use you, but he wants to. See, that's the difference. He doesn't need to. He just wants to, I guess. Give it a try. But it's your choice to let him use you. That's the part he has in that. You can choose to let him use you. But if you don't want to, he won't force you. You're not a robot. We're not robots programmed to stay in his family. Lord, we will stay with you. Beep, beep, boop. Do this for the Lord. Boop, boop. Take this to the Lord. Do this for the Lord. We're not robots, man. We have brains and hearts and things that robots don't have. We're not programmed. We have a choice. And that's the great thing. Yahuwah isn't so vain. He'll just, like, make us to where we're zombies and we have to do stuff. Zombies, robots, all the same thing. I know. But we're not like that. He made us where we have a free will and we can choose to do what we want, even if it's not in his will. He'll be disappointed, sure, but if we go out and do that, that's our choice. That's our problem. Like, she just lost any money because he left the house. Well, that's your fault. Oh, I love saying that. I mean, it is, but that's not how our parents will be if you come back home. They'll be happy to see you if you truly repent. Your siblings will be happy to see everybody. Your family. We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. So we fellowship together with him. And that's a good thing. I mean, you wander astray, there's always a chance to come back. That's the great thing about being in Yahuwah's family. If we go out, we can always come back. If we truly repent, repent. That's the key word, repent. So I want to say something about my pro literacy campaign. Oh, I just love reading, guys. Reading is a TV in your head to me. I know that sounds weird, but it's true. That's what I think about books. And my devotional, Princess Leah's devotional, is coming out soon, guys. That was my big surprise I was telling you about, because I was just like, oh my gosh, you guys, oh, I'm going to write a devotional. You guys are going to be so happy. I'm excited. And I want to say thank you to Kayla Padgett again. Thank you for letting me have my radio show. It's been such a great day today. And it's so awesome. So thank you guys for tuning in. I want to pray with you guys before I leave today, because we always pray over you guys. How Princess Leah is. She's so caring and loving. Okay. Yahuwah, we thank you for today. We thank you for all the parents up there that let their children tune in today to Princess Leah. And Kayla Padgett, that you'll keep her safe on today and every day, because she's my twin and I love her. And I thank you for all the people out there that support me for my Pro Literacy campaign, for my devotional and everything. And that you had a great time on Princess Leah today. And that we thank you for dying on the cross for our sins and everything you've done for us ever since that day. We thank you. And this is the day the Lord has made. Let's rejoice and be glad in it because it's the Sabbath and we love it. In Yeshua's name, amen. Bye, guys. I love you so much. I love everybody out there. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you.